This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
All right. Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see you guys. Good to have you online. Good to have you in the room as well. Hey, as we get started, can you give a couple of things? New series today, so we want to dive into God's Word. So 2 Timothy chapter 1, if you have your electronic Bible, physical Bible, whatever, 2 Timothy chapter 1, kind of park there. Also, if you haven't gotten the app, you might want to do that and follow along in the outline today. There's some scripture you're going to go through, some things that are going to set up the rest of the series. If you can do that on the app, that's great, and kind of keep things, two things working at once. Also, if you don't have that, you can scan this. This is our outline. You can take a picture on that. It'll open up the QR code, and then you can follow on the outline as well there. So we're just glad that you're here. Glad that you're here to just, I hope, as Daniel prayed, just to hear from God. Just allow him to speak to us today as we start this new series that we're calling Discovering Your Place in God's Story. This morning I got up, I'd gotten someone had sent me a link to a video, and I opened it up and was watching it, and it was on 9/11. I don't know if you've seen this, it's a short video, about 10 minutes long, and basically it's the story of that day. And if you were old enough to remember when the planes hit the Twin Towers, and all the smoke and all the tragedy and all the chaos, that what they had to do was shut down the subways and they shut down the bridges, and so you could not get off the island of Manhattan. And so people were streaming down to the southern part of Manhattan, and there they got stopped by the water, and they couldn't get out. And so if you've been there, you know there's ferries that can take people across. So some of the ferry boats saw this, and they pulled up and just saw this mass of humanity trying to get safe. And with the smoke coming in and the dust, and it covered them, they didn't look like human beings. They said they looked almost like zombies. They were just so traumatized and so afraid. And they go, we've got to do something. And so they came to the edge, and the ferries came, and they were piled up 10 deep, trying to help them get on the boats. And people were doing whatever. Executives and business suits were helping to hand people over the railing, and they were helping women and children. And one lady was blind, and she had a seeing eye dog, and they helped her over the rail and got her on the ferries. And there were just thousands of people trying to get off, and they weren't going to be able to do it. So the Coast Guard was like one Coast Guard boat there, and they got on the radio and just said, if you're in the area, if you have a boat, come. You're like, just come. That was all they said. Just come and help. And they said thousands of boats came, tugboats and people's private boats and party boats came, and they would pull up to the Manhattan there on the shoreline, and they were just helping anybody they could, and they were afraid. And this is something I've forgotten. You know, no one knew exactly what was going on. They didn't know if people were getting on the boats. They were part of the terrorists. They didn't know if there were bombs. And so these guys went in, and they interviewed some of these people, and they said, what was it like? They said, it was scary. We just didn't know what was happening. We just knew we had to do something, right? These people needed help. They needed someone to be there for them. And no matter what it might cost us, they were going to be there. And they talked about how, like, the pilots in the boats, and the one who guides it, they were part of it. They used their skills. The people just working the engines, they were using their skills. Some of the deck hands were just using their skills. And everybody worked together. And in 9 hours, like 9 hours, they moved over 500,000 people. Now, if you've ever know about Dunkirk in World War II, which is a great rescue mission, there was 300,000 people in that in 4 days. This was 500,000 people in 9 hours because everybody was willing to work together. Let's do what we can to save people. And everybody used what they had. And I'll tell you, it's a very moving thing. And if you ever watch anything about 9/11 where they talk about the people just rushing in, it's very moving to see people willing to give of themselves and use what they have. Just, what do I have in my hands? What have I been gifted to? What do I know how to do? They were going, we just dropped all the rules that day and just did what we knew how to do to save people. Very, very moving to see a group of people just willing to do whatever it takes, right, to fulfill a mission, to accomplish what they had. In this series that we're just calling Discovering Your Place in God's Story, it's very similar to that, that God has a story in this world. It's a redemptive story. It's about saving lost people, about rescuing people who need to know Jesus and how he equips his people, how God equips his people to be that rescue group, and that we're called, every one of us, to use what we have, the gifts, talents, abilities, our story, whatever we can to help people know this Jesus. And that's what we're going to be talking about for the next 5 weeks in this series. It's just, how has God gifted you, and what's your role in the whole thing, right? What's your role? Because everybody has a role. Now, in this series, we're going to talk about this on Sunday mornings for 5 weeks, so watching online, being here is great. We're going to be reading a book called Find Your Place. We have some back in the corner there. You can get it online if you like to do that on your device. You can pick up that way. We're going to be talking about it each week in our small groups, kind of exploring some things. There's also an assessment that we want everyone to take. I think we have a QR code for that. This is separate, so you might want to bookmark this for later. On this assessment, and we're going to send this out as a link as well to the church. In this assessment, they're going to help you discover your GPS, okay? That's your gifts, your spiritual gifts that God has given you. If you're a follower of Jesus, you've been given a gift to use for his glory and for his kingdom to help people to know him. And so you're going to discover your gifts. You're going to help discover your leadership style, and we're going to talk about that over the next few weeks. Your passion, like what God has put in your heart that you are excited about doing, how to help a broken world become whole. And broken people to find Jesus, that's your passion. And then your story is something you're going to do over several weeks. So if you take this assessment, do the G and the P part first. And the story part, you're going to save it and be able to come back to it. And you're going to be tracking your story and how it fits in God's story over the next few weeks. So that you know coming out of these 5 weeks, you're going to be on this pathway. We're all going to be on this pathway together to say, okay, God, we're here for a reason. And you have this grand story. You have this amazing story how you're redeeming the world. And what is my role in that? And how am I ready for that? And what do I need to do to be ready? And what have you given me to accomplish? And what's my role? And how long does this role last? So there's a lot of questions we're going to answer. We're going to start with a passage of Scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 through 11. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. We're going to look at it in the Amplified Version. We use that sometimes because it kind of explains some words in that. I really like it. Let me give you the context. Paul, who has written a big chunk of our New Testament, you know, he was a persecutor of Christians till he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and then his whole life was flipped. And then he became this passionate evangelist, this guy who just, let me tell you the gospel, let me tell you about Jesus. And in his role of doing that, he gets arrested. He goes to jail for it. He has to suffer for it. But he has this mentee, right? This person who's an apprentice, a person he's pouring his life into, a guy named Timothy. And even in jail, Paul is able to reach out and give him some instruction. We're going to look at that instruction because in this, we're going to learn some things about ourselves. So we're going to start here. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. This is the Amplified Version. He starts off saying this, so do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord or about me, his prisoner. He said, okay, I'm in prison. I know normally people are ashamed of that, but don't be ashamed of what I'm doing because I'm in this prison because of Jesus. He says, but with me, take your share of suffering for the gospel. And here's the truth. God's calling is not always comfortable. God's calling in our life is not always comfortable. In the U.S. church here in America, we get so used to comfort, right? Like, God bless me, God take care of me, God give me what I want. And God's going, I've got a bigger story. And in that story, you may have to suffer. In this story, you may have to be a little bit out of your comfort zone, just like Paul was. And he told Timothy, kind of in the brackets there, continue to preach regardless of the circumstances, no matter what you're facing, what you're going through. This is so important. Don't let what we're going through, in this case, him being in prison, don't let that stop you. He says, in accordance with the power of God, for his power is invincible. In other words, nothing's going to stop what God's doing. When you're afraid, when you're not sure, when you're doubting yourself, that's when you rely even more on God's power, and he's going to get you through. Okay, so is what we talk about, you're going, I can't do that. It's okay. It's God's power that's going to make it happen. And then verse 9, which is kind of what I'm going to focus on through this series. Next verse says this, for he delivered us and he saved us. In many ways, we are those people at the end of Manhattan Island waiting for some way to get off the island, right? Because we live in a world of chaos. We live in a broken world and we were sinners and we deserve, right, God's judgment. But he stepped in. And if you know Jesus, he stepped in and he delivered you from that. And he saved you from that. And then he says, and he called us. With a heavenly or holy calling. The word calling there, just kind of get this in your mind. It's the word, Greek word, kaleho. It does mean to call, like to call out. Like, we don't do this with our kids now, but when I was growing up, we would go out and run the neighborhood, and it was dinner time. Mom would come out, and she would yell, "Come home," and she would just yell. Anybody else grew up in that world? Come home now, it's time, dinner's ready, and we were supposed to come home, like, right away. We'd drop whatever we were doing, and it's that kind of a call, but it also means to invite. It says, God delivered you, and God saved you, and then he invited you into this new life. Here in the Amplified, it tells us about that life. This is a calling that leads to a consecrated life, which means a holy life, a separate life, a life that's set apart from everybody else, and a life of purpose and meaning. Meaning you get up in the day, you go, I know what I'm here for. I know what God's doing. It's more than what I can see. God's at work. He's given me purpose in it. And then I love this, not because of our works. Like, we don't deserve this. And in the Amplified, it says, or because of any personal merit, we did nothing to earn it. But because of his own purpose and grace, his amazing undeserved favor, which was granted to us in Christ Jesus before the world began eternal ages ago. This is God's big story. Before the world began, God had a plan. I'm going to create human beings so I can have a relationship with them. But they're going to turn away from me. God knew that. They're going to sin, they're going to turn away, they're going to do their own thing, they're going to be all about themselves. I know this already, but I have a plan. And the plan is my son Jesus. And Jesus is going to come into the world, and he's going to give people an invitation to come and be part of my story. And that's really the crux of it, right? God had this plan from the very beginning. He says, you are part of it. This great plan from the very beginning. Next verse kind of explains that about a little bit about that. It says, but now that extraordinary purpose and grace has been fully disclosed, so it's been revealed and realized by us through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who through his incarnation, which means he became flesh, he became a human being just like us, through his incarnation and earthly ministry abolished death. And you can read that and just kind of float by it, right? He abolished death. On the cross, he won the victory. On the cross, he defeated death. We take that too lightly. He abolished death, and I love what it says, making it null and void. He overcame it. We are eternal creations because of our soul, and he saved us from death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. That's the message. That's what we're carrying to the world. And then Paul explains a little bit about his role. He says this, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle, which in our kind of words, apostle is like a missionary, a church planter, someone who goes out with the message, and a teacher of his good news regarding salvation. In other words, here's his role. And it's not everybody's role. But his role was very specific. I've been given some gifts to teach and to preach and to be a church planter, a missionary. When you take that assessment that we mentioned, it's going to tell you what leadership gifts you have. It's going to show you, based on your answers, yes, this is your role. This is what you're to do. This is how you've been called. And this is how you're equipped to do it. Like Paul had his three. What are your gifts? What is your direction in leadership? We're going to discover that over the next few weeks. But it's all built around this idea of calling. I want to talk about calling today, kind of set up the next few weeks, kind of explain what calling is, how I understand it, why it's important to me, and why it's important to this church, and if you're a follower of Jesus, why it should be important to you. So real quick, here's four things about calling, and here's the first one. Number one is that God calls each of us, and here's the deal. If you're a follower of Jesus, there was a day, there was a moment where you heard from him. Now, you probably didn't hear it with your ears, your physical ears, but there was a day where you sensed God in your life, right? You either woke up in the middle of the night, had this understanding of your sinfulness in your life and your need for a Savior, and you woke up and that hit you. You went to a funeral or something, you realize how short life is, and you go, at that moment, God spoke to you. You were somewhere reading the scriptures. I've heard this over and over, and you're reading, and suddenly it's like, God's speaking to me right now. You were maybe in a group like this, and a pastor, a preacher, or a teacher, or someone just sharing a testimony, and you sensed that at that moment, God was there, right? You may not be able to put it into words. It may have been over a season. There was a period of time where God called you, and it was real, and it was personal, and it set your life in a whole new direction. And maybe you need to go back to that day and go, okay, I need to remember that. I need to remember what that was like, because that set your life on a whole new calling. That's what it's all about, God speaking to you directly. Number two thing about calling is this: our calling is part of God's great story of redemption. It's not just about you at this moment. You're part of a bigger story, a grander story, a heavenly story, right? A lot of times we get so focused on our own thing. It's like, God, help me in this situation, and he loves to. God, help me with this relationship. Help me with my finances. God loves to do that, but he wants you to understand something else. There's a bigger story you're part of, and yours is just a small part in it, and you have a part to play, but that role is part of his redemptive work in this world. In other words, you're not just here for yourself, and I'm not just here for myself. There's something bigger than us, and it's God's great story of redemption. Number three, something to remember throughout this whole series and to understand calling. Our primary calling, there's going to be two types of calling. Our primary calling is to a saving relationship through Christ. This is number one. It's about knowing Jesus. Salvation, it says in the scriptures, about knowing Jesus personally. Not knowing just about him, like I know the facts, I can check it off, I can tell you the stories. It's knowing him personally. A saving knowledge of him, a saving relationship with Jesus. That's the most important thing. That's your number one primary calling. Everything else comes out of that. When you understand he's called you to know him, everything else you do just flows out of that. And then number four, the thing we're going to really focus on in this series, the fourth one, is our secondary calling. So out of our primary one, our secondary calling is unique to us and is for a season. In other words, your secondary calling is different than mine. We may overlap sometimes, but your secondary calling is unique to you. You are unique, and no one else can do what you've been called to do. No one else is in the position that you are in. No one else has the sphere of influence that you have. No one else has the gifting, the exact gifting that you have. No one else has God working in you that particular way. And not only that, it's for a season. And this is sometimes where we get this a little messed up, and I want to explain this through this next series, is it's just for a season. Now, your season may be very long in a certain place. It may be just for a day. Your primary calling is for eternity. Your secondary calling can be just for a day, just can be for a moment. It can be just talk to that person over there. It could be for a week. It could be for months. It could be for years. And one of the things we want to discover is, like, where are you right now in that secondary calling? Where are you right now? We're praying that God shows us where you are. Maybe continue what you're doing. Stay right there and continue doing that. You're not done yet. It may be something new's about to happen. You might be right at the beginning of something going, okay, for the first time, God's going to introduce something. And that's why I'm excited. Because we're like on this edge, I think, over the next few weeks, that God's going to be revealing things like, okay, you need to be prepared. Something new is coming in your life. You're going to follow me in a new way. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is a person that doesn't get a lot of attention. His name is Philip. Do you know Philip's story in the gospel? I'm just going to paint you a picture, kind of follow along. You'll see how this all fits. In John chapter 1, Jesus is just getting started with his ministry. He's been baptized. He's now heading out, so it's time. I'm on a path. I'm on my mission. I'm preaching the kingdom of God. He goes to Galilee, and there's Philip, and Philip is just doing his life. Doesn't expect anything to happen, just an ordinary day. Maybe you've had an ordinary day where God just showed up. Jesus showed up, and he looks at Philip, and he goes, two words, follow me. And there was something so compelling about what Jesus said, follow me, that Philip just dropped everything and said, okay. Now, that's got to be pretty compelling, right? I've waited for this the whole life, and God is speaking to me at this moment, and he's saying, follow me, and I will give up everything for that. And Philip just dropped everything and said, I'll go. Now, Philip, at that moment, had a gift from God. The gift of invitation, the gift of evangelism. Some of you have the gift of evangelism. This is how it played out in Philip's life. The very first thing he did is, I got to go tell my buddy Nathaniel. Now, Nathaniel's a skeptic. Does anybody have a skeptic in your life? Does anybody know a skeptic about God? Do you guys know skeptics? Like, yeah, one, I don't think Jesus ever existed. I've got a buddy that I'm talking through that with. Did Jesus even exist? Well, history points that he did. Everything around it points that he did. But do you believe it? And then if Jesus existed, was he the Messiah? Was he the Savior? You've got to wrestle with that. I know skeptics that deal with that. Does God even exist? Nathanael's kind of in that boat. And what Philip did is he went to him and said, I think I found the Messiah. Nathanael says, well, tell me about him. Well, he's from Nazareth. Well, no way then. Nothing good comes out of Nazareth, right? And what did Philip say to him? Three words. Come and see. That was it. He didn't try to argue with him. He didn't say, let me explain to you. Let me show you through scriptures. There's a time for that. He just said, let me take you to Jesus. You make up your own mind. They go encounter Jesus. Jesus tells Nathanael, I saw you under the tree, which means Nathanael's doing something under the tree, like crying out or talking. He's doing something. Because as soon as Jesus said that, he goes, I'm done. I don't need any convincing. I don't need you to explain it to me. You know who I am. And I'll follow you too. It happened because Philip gave an invitation. Next season, again, this is seasonal. For the next 3 years, Philip became a student of Jesus. For the next years, he just said, I'm going to go where you go. I'm going to learn from you. I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to watch the way you pray. I'm going to watch the way you interact with people. I'm going to listen to what you tell me to do. And then Jesus would send him out on like little field trips. You go try this. Go preach. Go heal people. Go pray over them. You go do. And for 3 years, Philip was in school. That was just first season. Some of you in the season of school right now, you're going, I wish this was over. Well, you have to go through 3 years of school, like maybe Philip, or some of you like 10 years, or don't do like me, which was like 17, okay? Don't do that. But your season of school is just a season. It's just a season. And then you get to the end of Jesus' ministry, and you're in John chapter 12, and they're hanging out in the temple, and Jesus keeps telling them, I'm going to die, and they don't want any of them believe it. And this group of Greeks, and we talked about this a few weeks ago, this group of Greeks, non-Jews, come to Philip and go, we want to see Jesus. And they have a moral dilemma. These guys aren't like us. They don't look like us. They don't talk like us. What are we going to do? So Philip did what most people do. Let me go talk to somebody else. Let me go get their opinion. Let me go to Andrew. Andrew knows these kind of questions. I don't. I'm the inviter. I'm the evangelist. I think it's okay, but let me go to Andrew. And Andrew says, okay, and they take him to Jesus. And as soon as they get to Jesus, Jesus goes, that's it. The world's coming. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. That's the inflection point. Everything's come to now, and now it's time for me to die because now the world is coming. And it started because a group of people went to Philip, and they must have said, you look different than the other guys. Maybe he talked a little bit different. There was something inviting about Philip, and they went to him. Because of that, Jesus said, now the time's come. And Philip was there, and the next season was really short, just a few days where he watched Jesus die. He watched him after he rose. He saw Jesus. He spent time with him, and then Pentecost hit. And what happened at Pentecost? Filled with the Holy Spirit. Philip is now a different guy. Just for a very short season, the time between Jesus and the Holy Spirit, they had to get through that. But when the Holy Spirit comes, Philip's on fire. Different calling, different direction, different gifting. You get to Acts chapter 8, show Philip again. He's now in Samaria. He's gone, as Jesus said, now go to Judea, go to Samaria, go to the end of the world. He's in Samaria. He's talking about Jesus. He's sharing. He's seeing people come to Jesus right and left. They're giving their lives to Jesus. They're being baptized. Great work is coming. And then the Holy Spirit steps in and says, look, I've got a one-day calling for you. There's a guy you need to meet. And he's on this road. And it's like, Philip, I could see it. And I was like, where is he? You'll know him when you find him. How will I know? You'll know when you find him. He goes down the road, and off the side of the road, there's an Ethiopian eunuch. He's a very important person, very high up in the government of Ethiopia. And he's reading the scripture out loud. He's reading Isaiah. And Philip goes up to him and says, okay, do you understand what you're reading? And he goes, well, how can I understand? I don't know. I'm a God seeker. I want to know this God. That's why he went to Jerusalem. He went to Jerusalem to find God, and he didn't find him there, but he's looking at the scriptures because he's so interested. And Philip said, I'm here. Let me tell you about the guy you're reading about. His name is Jesus. He's the Messiah. Do you want to know him? And the Ethiopian, I don't know how long this conversation took, but he just basically said, what's going to keep me from being baptized right now? And he goes, nothing. There's a pond right there. Let's go. We're not going to waste any time because Philip was like, this is my job. This is why I'm here. Let's be baptized. And it says after that point, the Ethiopian eunuch went back rejoicing. And then the Holy Spirit moved Philip to a whole different place. He said, that calling is over. One day, that's all it took. You have now impacted one person who's going to impact the whole country. You move on. How would you like to be that guy? I mean, if you really have a vision for your life and making a difference, eternal difference, how would you like to be the Philip where you came home and go, look, guys, today I met this person, I shared Christ with them, and they went back home to their world, and now they're sharing Christ? We were at seminar yesterday, and I went down to I think they call it soul care. It was like a come get taken care of for a day. Really, really good. And this guy was talking about how his church in Ohio was flying on a plane, met a guy from Afghanistan, shared Jesus with them. They started watching online because of COVID. They came back to Ohio, was baptized, went back to Afghanistan, and now they take everything, they write it out. They write it out in the new language so that people around them in this burned out, bombed out place in Afghanistan could hear about Jesus. I mean, one conversation on a plane led to a village in Afghanistan with no, like, our army's gone, but God isn't, right? God doesn't leave. And one person shared the story of Jesus, which is impacting a country, which may impact the future. And it's because one person was on call, right, from God, just like Philip. And the question is, where are you, and what does God want you to do? If you look at calling in Scripture, it's a great thing to just kind of study. You'll see it happen to a little kid like Samuel, just a little kid. Middle of the night, God says his voice, and he thinks it's the priest, right? What do you want? What do you want? And he says, not me calling, it's God. God's calling your name because God had a purpose for a little boy. So it doesn't matter how young you are. And then if you look at Moses' life, how old was he when he got his call? 80. Some of you are approaching 80. How about that? God says, stop what you're doing. You're going to go now lead people. No more sheep herding, right? Go lead people. And Moses going, I can't. Let me tell you all the reasons I can't do it. I don't speak well. You know, I don't want to do it. I'm not a leader. You name it, I can't do it. And God basically says, I don't really want to hear your excuses. You're going to do it. I'll send Aaron with you so you're not alone, but you're going to go do it because I'm calling you. 80 years old, new life. Some are going, I don't want to hear that part, right? And I want to just be done. I just want to do what I'm doing. 80 years old, go do this next thing. Better than Abram's call, right? I mean, think about that. You could have a child when you're 90 years old. How many want to face that? Huh? That'd be a different world, whole different world. But that's still a calling, isn't it? Deborah in the Old Testament, men wouldn't lead. Men wouldn't lead. So God said, Deborah, you're the judge. You lead the army. That was her calling, and she went out. She led the army to victory in the book of Judges. That was her calling. Think about Mary's calling. What was her calling? To give birth to the Son of God. That would be a lot of pressure, I think. Can you imagine? You've got to raise Jesus up, and he like knows everything. I mean, how do you raise up Jesus? That's a calling. Being a mom is a calling. Being a dad is a calling because it invests your life in your children. Lydia was a business person. She sold purple things, which were really expensive. When she found Jesus, her first thing was to go home and tell her employees, and they all became followers of Jesus. Paul was a tent maker on top of the things we've already looked at. That's how he made his money, right? To pay for everything. That's part of his calling. Luke was a doctor, but he saw being a doctor as part of God's greater story. He says, I can heal your body, sure, but only God can heal your souls. So we combine the two, and that's what we're called to do. And you look at your life and go, okay, God, what is my calling? How do I use what you've given me for your greater story? Most of you know my story. I've told it enough where I wanted to be a doctor, and then I wanted to be a screenwriter. I went to school a little bit for both, and I'm not doing either one of them. That goes with my education, right? I spent a lot of money to find out that's not what I was supposed to do. In the midst of that, I felt God call me to teach at a little Christian school in Long Beach, California, a little private school in inner city Long Beach. It's so amazing how God works. It's like the last thing I wanted to do was go to a school. I was done with school, so where did I end up? Don't let that scare you. I ended up teaching. I loved it. I taught high school after a while at a Christian high school. And one of the things we did is we took groups down to Guatemala. And this was like one of the joys of my life because the whole purpose of the trip to Guatemala is go find your calling. Do you want to become a doctor? We're going to practice that in Guatemala. You want to learn how to give shots? They let you do that in Guatemala. There's no restrictions. You're going to learn how to give shots. You're going to give shots to different people. You want to be a teacher? There's no restrictions in Guatemala. You're going to go in, you're going to teach English in these public schools. You want to do social work? You're going to go in a village and you're going to give children with lice a shampoo. How does that sound? Go find out if you really want to do that before you spend a lot of money in school. You want to be an engineer? We're going to teach you how to build this cool toilet, right? This outhouse that sits 6 feet off the ground where you can use it as compost. That sounds gross, but that's what engineers do. They solve problems. You can go try that out if you see if you want to do it or not. And then we come back, yeah, I discovered it. One time we had a college group that went at the same time we did. And I went with them to a hospital. This was the medical group, right? And they were going to see their first operation. So we go into this room all gowned up, everything, in a room about the size of our bathrooms, okay? All crowded, hot, all right? And so they're all crowded around. They cut the guy open. If this is your squeamish, I won't go into a lot of details. But they cut the guy open, and there's a college student from this other group, and he's wearing a white mask, and he turned as white as his mask, and he leaned up against the wall and did this, straight down. And I volunteered, because I'm that kind of person, I volunteered to take him out, because I wanted out of that room myself, because God doesn't want me to do operations either. So we took him out, and he goes, I just learned God's not calling me to be a doctor. I don't have the stomach for it. But in that same room, there was a girl from our high school that said, God's calling me to be a doctor. Part of what she did was she went in, I don't think we should allow her to do this, but I found out later, so give me some grace. She was with a patient that got a shot through the femur, shattered the guy's femur, and they had to put him in a full body cast. Well, to give somebody a full body cast, to take all his clothes off. So here's my high school student, whose dad's a pastor, they've been a missionary, she's in the room with this patient, has no clothes on, trying to body cast this guy. So we had a lot of explaining to do after that one. But she looked at that and go, I was able to do something that I use some things that I have, some things that I have, and I want to become a doctor. And that's what she's done. She's gone off, and we saw kids become students. I mean, teachers, I've got one of our students that's now a teacher. She does that for a living. I mean, she pours her life into students. And they became engineers and all that because they discovered their calling. And what I'm excited about is I believe some of us are going to do that same thing. In the next 5 weeks, you might discover a new calling. You might discover you're supposed to stay in your calling. You might discover it's time to take a right turn. It's time to take a left turn. And here's what probably most of us are going to discover. How does what you're doing fit in God's great story? Because you're really, really good at what you do, but so far you haven't figured out how do I bring God's story into my business? How do I make that happen? And how do I live on mission with God? In that school I talked at for a number of years, I was there for 14 years, there was a lady there, she was a choir teacher. She was Miss Hutton, okay? I don't think I ever called her by her first name. I was a little afraid of her. We were all a little afraid of her. She was this wonderful person. She was about this tall. And she taught for 50 years. She was teaching grandkids of students. I mean, once you think about it, it was like they would walk in and goes, I taught your grandparent. That's an interesting thing to say. And she was really good about it. She was excellent. She was one of the best teachers I ever saw. And I remember the day that she retired. And what everybody thought was, how is this school going to keep going without Miss Hutton? If she leaves, the school's going to fall apart. And you know what I learned? The day she left, the school kept going. One of her students, former students, took over for her. And what I learned that day is calling is seasonal. You are called for a period of time. It may be 50 years. It may be a day. It may be a decade at a certain place. And then God says, it's time to you to do something else. For Miss Hutton, her job was to go lead a choir at her church, and she did it really well. She passed away just a few weeks ago, and they had, I mean, this is where, you know how the internet lights up for certain people? It lit up for her, and like people are shooting things around, and they're explaining, you know, stories and telling stories. Every one of them, to a T, that I saw, focused on the person and not the music she taught. She was an exceptional music teacher. But I don't remember anybody saying, I learned how to sing, I learned how to read notes, nobody cared about that. They all talked about, she poured her life into mine. She did devotions with them, she prayed over them, she talked to them, she encouraged them. Every one of them was talking about the person. Do you have a teacher like that? Where you don't remember really the class, you just remember the person? Because she was living her calling. She never got married, but her calling, her whole life, was pouring her life where God told her to be. I don't know what God's calling you to be. I think part of it all flows out of your primary calling to follow Jesus. But I think there's times where God says, get ready, something new's coming. Philippians 3:14, this is what Paul said about his calling. He says this about his calling in that chapter, this verse. He says, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. He says, we've got a race right now. You're running a race. And maybe you don't know where the track is and you're trying to figure that out. We're going to look at our GPS, our gifts, passions, and story. We're going to see what God's doing. That's the race. That's what I'm called to do. And there's a prize at the end of it. And what God wants to do is discover exactly what he wants us to do and how it fits in his story and run that race as hard as we can. I want to pray for us now. And as we pray, I want to pray for some different people. One, maybe you're here today and you're that group that, yeah, I know what I'm supposed to do. I just don't know how to connect it with God's story. I don't know how to share through these relationships I'm forming. I don't know how to help people find God where I am. So maybe that's you. You understand what you're supposed to do, but you don't know how to connect it with God's story. Some of you here today, your main thing is keep doing what you're doing. Just keep going. God's called you there. You're tired. You're weary, perhaps. You're ready to quit. And God's saying, I want you to stay. Your calling is to stay where you are. Some of you are at the end of a season, and you feel it, and you sense it, and God's going to start turning you, and you're going, okay, God, help me to get there. Help me to see it. Help me to know what it is, and help me to discover it as part of your great mission. Maybe that's you. Some of you may be in this place where you're just wrestling with it. I understand my calling. I just don't want to do it. Maybe that's you, and it's like, today we're just going to surrender. And the last group may be like, you've heard God speak to you, and you know it's time to surrender your life for the first time, and you just have not been able to pull the trigger, and maybe today is that day you go, okay, God, Jesus, I hear you. I know what you're saying. Today, here it is. I'm ready. So wherever you are, let's pray together. You know where you are. You just pray on your own. I'm going to pray over us, but you pray on your own. And let's just kind of dedicate ourselves next few weeks to discover that calling that God has for us. Let's do that. Father God, I thank you for this idea of calling. That in the midst of our life, you slow us down. And it may be a tiny whisper like you did with Elijah. It may be a full-on voice like Jesus heard the day he was baptized. And you cried out, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. For many of us, it's a conviction through the Holy Spirit. As you convict us of sin, or you show us a new thing, or you put a dream in our life. So I pray for each one of us, first of all, to know you. To know you personally. Not just about you, but to know you personally. That's the first calling. I pray for people that need to make that decision today. Break down walls. Tear apart chains. To free them, Father. For those that understand their calling and they need help, they need endurance, they need strength, may they just turn to you, may you just pour your spirit in them, may be strengthened today for the journey ahead. For those that are not sure, we pray for clarity, we pray for direction, we pray for open doors, we pray for you to work because we want to see you. We don't want to live a life that just goes and goes and goes, and each day is like Groundhog Day. And with you, though, Father God, every day can be new. So we just surrender ourselves wherever we may be and say, speak to us and show us what you're already doing and what you want us to do. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.